You are listening to the Tuesday, December 12th edition of RotoViz Radio. I'm Pat Corain on Twitter at Pat Corain. And with me this episode will be Sean Siegel on Twitter at FF underscore contrarian. And our guest will be Monty Fahn. Monty just wrote an article at RotoViz chronicling his journey in the FFPC this year to finish as the number one team out of 1,440 teams heading into the playoffs in the FFPC. That is obviously great to finish first, but it also helps you out in the FFPC playoffs. The way that works is you have the 14, 15, and 16 weeks. Each of those scores going to be going towards deciding who wins the overall championship. But in addition to that, the average weekly score from the regular season as well. So finishing first will give Monty a leg up, and we talk to him about his FFPC team, some of his targets, some of his pickups along the way, some of the guys he didn't take as well. I, of course, wanted to pick Monty's brain after not making the playoffs in back-to-back years in the FFPC myself. So a lot of fun talking with Monty. Also, you should check out his article at RotoViz as well, posted last week. Monty Fahn, P-H-A-N. He's on Twitter at Monty Fahn. Let's get into that right after I remind you that you can get a listeners-only 30% discount to a RotoViz NFL pass through the RotoViz podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. That subscription will give you unlimited access to all of our NFL content, and it also helps support the pod, which, of course, you can also do by subscribing to and rating the RotoViz radio channel on iTunes. We've got the RotoViz radio channel. We also have the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show, which has just this show and a couple others, more of a pared-down feed compared to the RotoViz radio feed, which will get you all of our shows. And you can also always contact the show via Twitter at RotoViz Radio and by email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. But let's get into the show with Monty and Sean. Please welcome to the show, Monty Fahn. You can follow him on Twitter at Monty Fahn. Monty finished the FFPC main event regular season in first place overall out of 1,440 teams, despite losing his first pick, Ezekiel Elliott, to suspension. Monty, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So let's get into this accomplishment here. You finished the regular season in first place at the FFPC, which does matter for your chances of taking down the total prize, because your average score in the regular season is kind of counted towards your final finish is one of the that in the final 3 weeks. I kind of wanted to talk about that and also talk about what I just mentioned, you losing Ezekiel Elliott, your first round pick, and curious to kind of get your thoughts when you're putting this team together and looking at Elliott in the first round. What were your kind of thoughts assessing the risk there, knowing that he was likely probably to be suspended, and what was your reaction when you heard that the suspension after, you know, fits and starts was finally coming down?
You mean besides like throwing things across the room and chairs and it hurt double too, because I'm a big Cowboys fan as well. So well, at the beginning of the season, we drafted on the Saturday, that Saturday morning before the season started. We had the third pick. We were going to go with Antonio Brown. And then Thursday night happened, and Kareem Hunt exploded. So then he entered the conversation. And our feeling at that time was, well, he's a rookie, and he had one huge game. And even though total points do matter in the FFPC, it's hard to trust the third overall pick with taking a rookie there. And then that was Thursday night. Friday, they said that Elliott had won his appeal, or at least won the injunction, the restraining order. And so then he entered the picture too. And at that time, they had said, at least all the talking heads had said, it was like a 90% chance he would play the entire season. So we felt pretty good about taking him there. And it actually was down to him and Hunt, and we ended up taking him. And we were set to take one of the other two, Bell or David Johnson, if one of those dropped to us, but they didn't. So, and then it was a roller coaster ride the whole season where is he or isn't he? Yes, he was. No, he's not suspended. Yes, he is. No, he isn't. And, you know, it obviously was not ideal, but it could have been worse. We could have had David Johnson fall to us and not have him the whole season. So, you know, it was a calculated risk. It worked out as well as we could hope for the time he was in there, since I think he was, I know he was a top five back, probably I think it's top three, when he was suspended. So, we get him back for week 16 and, you know, at least he wasn't injured, I guess. So
I definitely know what you're talking about there. In one of my NFFC leagues, I had the number two pick. And I was all set to take Antonio Brown. For me, it had come down to Bell or Brown, and I had finally set on Brown. And then the person drafting number one took Kareem Hunt. And so I then took David Johnson. That did not work out at all, which was unfortunate because that team ended up with Todd Gurley, who has been sort of a league winner. But I guess if it had to be on a team, it was good to be on one that also had Allen Robinson, Tyler Eifert, Jordan Reed, Andrew Luck. So that team ran into a number of problems as it went along. Monty, in your article, you wrote about how obviously the Ezekiel Elliott suspension is not ideal at all, but you made sort of a crafty free agent pickup at about the time that he was suspended. And as a result, you actually scored more running back points or scored more points from that spot after the suspension. Who did you pick up there and why did you make that selection?
Yeah, after Dalvin Cook went down, you know, I looked and there was a very well-reasoned article on RotoViz about how Latavius Murray would be the pickup. And the three other guys that I run the team with, we all agreed that, you know, looked like he would be the guy. We spent almost, I want to say $480 out of our $1,000 of free agent bidding money on Murray. And then, of course, McKinnon shot out of the gate, looked like made that look like not the smartest move for a few weeks, but we also happened to spend only $6 to pick up Matt Forte. And this is kind of the way our season has gone. Is I want to say it was week 8 and the Jets were playing on Thursday and Elliott had lost some appeal, or there was some ruling that said he was his suspension began immediately. So as of that Thursday night game, Elliott was out. So we were forced to start Forte, and he had, well, in FFPC points, it was 20 points. So I want to say it was probably 80 yards and a couple TDs. And then the next day, Friday, the court said that he could play that weekend while they sorted things out. And so, like I said, we got lucky breaks throughout this season where we never would have started Forte if Elliott was going to be in the lineup. And so we were forced to take Elliott out and put in Forte, and it actually worked in our favor that week. And then after that was when Latavius Murray started picking things up, and he started getting those gimme touchdowns from inside the five. And kept us afloat there for a long time while Elliott has been out. So,
Monty, I wanted to talk a little bit about your first two wide receiver picks in your draft. This has been a year where there were some landmines among the early wide receivers. The FFPC team that I co-owned with Pete Overzet, we certainly hit a couple of the landmines in Odell Beckham and Allen Robinson. But you guys did much better by getting DeAndre Hopkins and Davante Adams at 310 and 403. I guess a couple questions. Were you expecting that those guys would be there for you at those picks? And then as far as Hopkins goes, What were you expecting? Did you just kind of see him as a value pick there late in the third, or were you really looking for him to bounce back this year?
I mean, I don't want to make this sound like paid endorsements or anything, but RotoViz, I it's one of the sites I go to pretty regularly, and the arguments made in favor of Hopkins having a bounce back year were pretty solid, and we actually have a Football Players Championship team that I think we also took Hopkins on. I remember at that spot, I think there was Cooks available too and Stephon Diggs. We were a little on the fence about Hopkins, but, you know, like I said, the arguments for him having a bounce back year seem pretty solid. He had played with poor quarterback play throughout his career and still had done pretty well. And then, well, just as a tangent, there was a guy who was drafting second in our league, and he had been in an earlier draft, a main event draft, where he had also picked second. And so that kind of tipped his hand as far as which guys he was targeting at that number two and number 11 every round. So, and he kind of did stick to it. There were quite a few players he had in common. So, with both teams. So, when that fourth pick came around for Adams, it was Adams is not someone we were targeting at all. He just is one of those picks where it looked better to us on the board than some of the other ones. I think we had had him last year too, that we picked him up late. So, you know, you just, it's not always strategy. Sometimes you get lucky. Adams seemed like the most appealing guy on the board, and that's who we end up going with.
How much scouting of your draft did you do to realize that, you know, this other guy was in this other draft that you could look at, you know, at the exact same spot and you could kind of scout out his pick?
Honestly, it was Friday. We were bored. We just went up to the draft room to check out the drafts, and I don't exactly remember. It was me and another guy I was with, and we were just looking down the list at who was picking where, and noticed that this guy had the number two pick. And I've never noticed that before. This is the first time we've actually gone that in depth of looking who we were drafting with. And we just happened to stumble upon it. So
this was a year where, in addition to obviously the straightforward injuries of players like David Johnson and Odell Beckham, you also had to look out for all of these quarterbacks getting hurt and how that would affect the players they were throwing to, because obviously it can affect them a great deal. So along with the Elliott suspension, you also had to be pretty concerned when, you know, Aaron Rodgers goes out, Deshaun Watson goes out, because the downgrade there is about as large a potential drop-off as you could see with any QB injury. But these two guys, instead of cratering like Jordy Nelson did or suffering through the seasons that we've seen from Denver and Indianapolis receivers, Hopkins and Adams have continued to score like crazy. I was just using the buy low machine, and both of those players actually had a very slightly higher split in games where Rodgers or Watson didn't play. Now, a little bit of that is complicated by the games they started it for Rodgers and got hurt, or for Watson when he took over in the middle of game one. But these are phenomenal performances for these guys when you consider who their quarterbacks were. What do you think that tells us about these two players going forward? Are they going to go even much earlier next year?
I think so. I mean, Hopkins and Watson seem to be a combo that's going to be pretty huge in Houston for a while, assuming Watson comes back okay from his injury. And, I mean, you got receiving scenarios in Green Bay where, you know, who knows if Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb will be there next year or not. I know that there's issues with their contracts and stuff, and Adams could be the number one there next year. It was one of those things where, you know, they hadn't given us any reason not to keep starting them, even with the change in QBs. I think both of them, I think Hopkins will be probably top six consideration next year. And I think Adams has probably worked his way into the second round as well. So,
well, it must have been pretty exciting to see them light up the scoreboard yesterday and combine for those four touchdowns. How many points did the two of them put up for you together?
I think they put up 30. One put up 30, the other put up 36. So, yeah, around 66 points, which we've been averaging 160. So it's about 40% of our average was taken up by those two guys.
And so I think, you know, one of your other heavy hitters who we haven't mentioned, your second round pick, Rob Gronkowski, was out for this first week of the playoffs. What do you have to say about that?
I threw a few more things at the walls. That was poor planning on our part. Kobe Fleener was our backup. Obviously, he was put on IR, and we didn't have any more free agent money to spend to replace him. So we weren't also expecting, I mean, Gronk could always get hurt, sure, but we weren't expecting him to get suspended. So that hurt. We fortunately had enough slack that was picked up by our other guys that it doesn't seem that it will have hurt us as much as it could have. Obviously, he's probably on a lot of other contending teams as well. Those teams probably had backups they could put in. But, he did what he did. He got suspended, and it hurt us. But, we may be able to survive it yet. We'll see.
Who did you end up filling in for him?
Nobody. We had Fleener. He was our backup, but he's on IR, so we didn't have a third tight end.
Oh, wow. So did you guys literally have $0?
We got a zero for that. Well, yeah. Not yet, since technically his game hasn't been played yet. But, yeah, we had to take a zero there. It's funny because his bye week, I think we picked up – it was either his bye week or there was a week that he missed to injury. And we picked up O.J. Howard, and he got us a zero. So we have not had luck with Gronkowski backups.
All right, we'll be back with more from Monty after this quick break. Fantasy football fans, listen up. If you love fantasy football, then you need to try my new favorite app, Draft. Here's how it works. You do a draft that lasts for just 1 week, and there's no management. Just set it and forget it. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. Draft even takes care of last-minute injuries for you. Drafts start every couple minutes, so you could join one right now. And the best part? You play for cold, hard cash. Drafts start from just $1, so there's a draft for everyone. There's no salary caps, so you play in real-life snake drafts, just like you would with your friends in a season-long league. So come in, join me, draft against me on Draft Today. Download the app anytime. Just search Draft in your app store and join a game in minutes or play right from your computer on playdraft.com, whatever you want. For a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use the promo code RVRadio. That's right. Play a real money game for free just for using my promo code RVRadio on your first deposit on Draft. Just search Draft in the App Store or go to playdraft.com and come play free with promo code RVRadio.
Well, back on a happier note, in your article, you referenced the breakout of another RotoViz favorite, Devin Funchess. And so it must have been, you get that Newton to Funchess touchdown yesterday that should have given a good boost to the score. And then you get that long Newton run later. Is this Funchess breakout real? Obviously the Panthers must have had some confidence in him to make the big trade.
I was on the fence about him. We took him in, I think, the 17th round. So it was kind of a what the heck kind of pick. And I know feelings about him have been pretty up and down. But yeah, to your point, I think the trade of Benjamin was a vote of confidence for Funchess. They seem to be well, and then the Olsen injury as well, which funneled some more targets toward him. Olsen doesn't seem to be all the way back, and they had other receiver injuries with Curtis Samuel. But that team where it used to be more run heavy seems to be, I guess, seems to be trending the other direction now with Cam not trying to run as much, although he did have that long one yesterday. And them originally, I guess, McCaffrey seemed like not the best fit for that offense, but they seem to be committed to the short passing game with him and using Funchess for the longer downfield stuff. And so far, yeah, I think that obviously he's going to jump up in ADP next year. And it all depends on how far he jumps up as to whether or not we would target him. But I think it is, I think he deserves to have a consideration, especially in dynasty leagues. I tried trading for him a couple times and was denied. So it does seem that other people share that opinion that maybe he seems to have turned it around and should be a bigger part of that offense going forward.
Yeah, what do you think Funchess should be going for in dynasty, or where would you be trying to target him?
Pick-wise, I mean, if you're looking at the hit and miss of a first rounder next year in 2018, I would take Funchess for a first rounder.
Now, the FFPC has some pretty cool dynasty formats. Do you and your ownership group play in any of those?
I do, individually. I'm in a FFPC dynasty league. Yeah. Yeah. I made the playoffs and, it'll depend on tonight's game to see whether I advance.
Yeah. So you guys probably aren't looking ahead to next year quite as much as I am, given that, I was eliminated from the FFPC after week 11 and you guys are, finished first in the regular season, but who is on your, early rounds of your board next year? Obviously a lot's going to change between now and next year, but kind of who do you have your eye on so far?
It's not so much who I have my eye on. It's always interesting to me to see how far guys jump up. Guys like, Kamara. It's especially rookies who have a great first season and people try to, you know, how people value that first season. I remember we had the number 2 pick in the main event one year. It was Doug Martin's second year, and we took him second overall and got burned. And then, you know, I take that and I look at someone like Beckham and I avoid him in the first round because of what happened with Martin. And, you know, and he goes on to have a season that was, I can't remember, just as well or better than his rookie year. So, those high performing rookies are guys I like to see, where they fall. As far as guys that I'd be targeting, it's so hard to say at this time of year. You have just these guys that are nowhere near your radar, like Carson Wentz, who come out and you know, obviously it's unfortunate what happened yesterday, but when you look at league winning teams, he's going to be a huge part of those. So yeah, it's more along the lines of which guys who did well or which guys who didn't do so well this year, guys like Jordy Nelson when Aaron Rodgers is back next year, where where those guys land. Obviously, Hopkins is one of those this year that dropped, and we got the benefit of that. So,
yeah, and one thing about your team, I didn't mention this earlier, but you know, in taking a look at your team and reading your article at RotoViz, which I highly recommend for anyone listening, you should check out Monty's article entitled High Stakes Journal. Monty Fon enters FFPC playoffs in first place. Just an excellent recap of your team and, you know, heading into the playoffs. One thing that kind of jumped out to me about your team is it doesn't necessarily have, you know, some of the players that I think my assumption would be a lot of the other teams you're competing against will have. So you mentioned Carson Wentz. We've talked about Alvin Kamara. You know, obviously an amazing season, was available very late. Kind of a league-winning type of pick. And then other guys like Todd Gurley, you know, big breakout guys like that, not on your team. So I'm wondering, like, do you feel kind of like in a good spot because you're probably not, you know, you don't have so many of these guys that maybe everyone else has. So maybe there's some leverage there. And then obviously you're coming in with the added advantage of finishing in first throughout the regular season. So were you kind of, first of all, do you think I'm right? Do you think your team is maybe a little bit, in terms, you have some lower percentage owned plays than some of the other playoff teams?
Yeah, there isn't a lot of overlap between, all right, I think we have Jarvis Landry as well. He doesn't seem to be a guy that's on a lot of those top teams. You know, the tight ends are Gronk, Kelsey, and Ertz, the three that are going to be on a lot of those teams. And then quarterbacks like Wentz and probably Wilson. We have Cam Newton, and who we've been starting the majority of the year. We just, this past weekend, we decided to start Goff over Newton, and it got us, I think, an extra point, so maybe that was the right move. But yeah, it does help in that regard. But when you look at, even though we finished top of the bracket, when you average out, we start off with 160 points, and I haven't looked, but maybe, you know, the guy in 100th place has 15 to 20 fewer points than we do, which is, you know, could come down to just one lineup decision. You know, we play a guy who doesn't do well, and the guy in 100th plays a guy who does, and all of a sudden he's closed that gap. So, you know, it was something I pointed out in that article, that the number of finishing the top overall, at least in the past 4 years, none of those guys has won the grand prize. And I don't even think any of them finished in the top five. So it, you know, it's nice. It gave us some extra cash at the end. I don't know that it's necessarily indicative of where we will end up when things all shake out. But you know, it's pretty exciting nonetheless.
Yeah, Monty, you and I have talked a little bit about doing something like a high stakes workshop next year, and I'm very excited for that. If, you know, if it does work out and come to fruition, you know, you providing some insights to the readers about, you know, your process, you know, players you would like, that kind of thing. Knowing what you've done the last several years, and it's not just this year, you guys finished 16th overall a couple years ago. And then obviously, you know, you keep track of and look to see what some of the other top players are doing. Are there any key characteristics that you think a high stakes player tends to have, or things that you see when you observe some of these other top players?
I guess speaking for myself, it's whether it's good or bad, fantasy football is a pretty big obsession of mine. And The biggest thing for me is I read a lot, even during the off season. I'm not a big college football guy. So really I don't even know the college players until the combine and to see where those guys start shaking out in terms of fantasy drafts and that sort of thing. But, you know, I keep on top of free agency news and where everybody ends up and what that means for depth charts and, you know, which guy seems to be in a better spot, which guy seems to be in a worse spot, what incoming rookies, how that may affect situations, and just research and reading. I don't have a photographic memory or anything like that. I feel like I can retain information pretty well. And but a lot of it too is just knowing which names keep popping up over and over in different analyses and projections, and just kind of keeping those names in mind for when drafts come around and seeing where those guys are falling and whether other people are in that same line of thinking on this guy or that guy. But yeah, for me, the biggest thing is just is not really taking a break. It's something that I like, so it's not like I see it as work or anything. It's something that I enjoy. And, you know, just keeping up with it year round.
Now, we're obviously rooting for you. You had some huge games, which we mentioned, and you also had some mini landmines with the Gronk situation and Ingram not having his normal big game. Assuming Landry does what we hope he does tonight, approximately what spot are you going to be in heading into week 15?
I think we're at 25th right now, is what I want to say. And I mean, there's a lot of guys going tonight. Brady, Burkhead, Deion Lewis, Landry, and obviously some of the pass receivers as well. So, you know, it's hard to say. It all depends. The year that we finished 16th, I don't know that we were even, we may have been in the top 100 after week 14. It's hard to gauge because it's also, it's all pretty fluid. Honestly, we've had a good enough year. This is probably the best year we've had in high stakes. I'm sure it is. So, you know, as long as we've got next year paid for already, I think we're pretty happy. Anything else is pretty much icing at this point.
Awesome. Well, as Sean mentioned, we're all rooting for you, and thanks so much for joining us. Everyone, make sure to follow Monty on Twitter at Monty Fan. That's P-H-A-N is the spelling last name. And check out his article as well on RotoViz. Came out last week. Very cool stuff. Monty, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to RotoViz Radio, the flagship RotoViz podcast. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the established RotoViz Radio feed. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter, @RotoVizRadio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/radio.